right, cool. Welcome to episode 10 of the Golden Nuggets podcast. We're back. We had a little hiatus because the CrossFit Open was devouring everybody's life here over on the Wad Prep side. But we're very excited today to have the face of CrossFit, Ben Jovalsky, owner and CEO, main operator of Wad Prep, here joining us. The guy that checks both CJ and I, writes our checks, signs his name, and we're going to be picking his brain about his general life, his background, Wad Prep as a company, and CrossFit as a whole. So, hey, Ben, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? I'm super excited to be here. I'm honored.
Yeah. We're honored to have you here. I mean, I think based on our first call that we ever had, and now I think that we've come a long way in our, you know, intimate relationship, you and I. And so it's really cool that, you know, you came on.
I think my favorite part about our relationship, Joe, is that you get to experience what it is being close with my dad. So Tom Jovalsky, yeah. You have been helping him get over an injury or multiple nagging things very successfully, I might add. And just getting someone else that I know to experience Tom at an intimate level where you get long paragraphs at 10:30 PM at night, where just his level of detail and his explanations and his logic behind why he does certain things. It's really awesome. So we have a really close bond there. And the fact that he invited you fishing, that means you're basically part of the family now.
I can't even wait. I mean, it's been great working with him. And actually, ironically, you say paragraph. I just the other day, we were talking about modifying his program based on how he was feeling that day. And I asked him if he knew what like Bayesian statistics were, or Bayes' theorem, which is basically you take a scenario and you have this information going into it, and then you get more information. So you update basically your understanding of the context. And he was like, oh, when I was in, you know, where did he go to college? He was like, when I was at Yale, Duke Engineering School, I aced statistics, and I don't know what it was about the other people. They just couldn't get it. And so I've used Bayes' theorem a couple times. And so I always love getting those. A lot of pickleball. I was very humbled to be a part of jazzing you up about not catching a fish as big as your little brother. So that it's been a very good relationship.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've heard almost every one of the same stories that I've heard growing up. You're in for a wild ride, Joe.
Yeah. I can't wait. So before we get into like the stuff, I want to know, I don't actually know about you as a person before Wad Prep, or really outside of Wad Prep, except for the things that I can glean from our Slack conversations and what CJ tells me. So I'm just curious, what was the pre-Wad Prep life of Ben look like?
So just before Wad Prep, I actually owned a CrossFit gym in Maryland called Blue Crab CrossFit, which ironically only makes sense to anyone who lives in Maryland, basically. I co-owned Blue Crab CrossFit, like started it, founded it, and owned it with a friend of mine. So that's what I did just before Wad Prep. So that was obviously like a very clear stepping stone, where it's like I needed to coach people. Or let me back up even farther. So in college, I went to school mainly to become a professional bass fisherman. I technically got a business degree. Actually, I got an agricultural business degree, because the classes were smaller. And I knew that if I was in a 500 person class at NC State University, the chances of me showing up were very slim, because they don't take attendance in this class. So I went with a smaller business degree from the ag school. So same exact classes, just smaller class rooms and more personalized teachers. So I took that. And while I was there, I was on the fishing team. I fished and found a CrossFit. Say what?
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. It still exists. So I was on the bass fishing team and ended up having a pretty good run the 4 or 5 years I was in college. And I was basically primed and ready to go fish the professional tour. I mean, it was basically like I was ready. I won the national championship with my partner we were like the top college anglers coming out of college. And it was like, let's keep this going. And a lot of people that I know did keep it going and are fishing on the tour. But I had also found CrossFit my sophomore year of college. So I was also very into CrossFit. I was competing. I was like winning small local competitions. I was coaching a lot as well. And I was just like, man, I don't think I want to just like go fishing, which is kind of seemingly pointless. Cause basically like, and this is no knock on professional fishing, cause I love it and I'm obsessed with it. But like when you are a pro fisherman, your basic goal is to convince companies to give you sponsorship money so that you can survive. And then if you're lucky, you'll actually win money in the tournaments as well. So it's like professional golf, just with way, 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 way less money in the industry. So it's pretty difficult to make a living. And it's kind of just like, you just have to convince people that you deserve money. And the other thing that was on my mind was like, I should start a CrossFit gym. And when I thought about like, what kind of impact would I make in the fishing industry versus the impact in the fitness industry, I decided to actually just say, nope, I'm not going to do the pro fishing thing. I'm going to start a gym and try to make like meaningful impact on other people's lives and get paid for that rather than just getting paid to kind of do something that didn't really help anyone. So that was the ultimate decision to start a CrossFit gym. And then I got married and that's what made me have to start Wad Prep.
Gotcha. Now, what was the uniform for the fishing team like?
Oh my gosh. You haven't
seen. What a good question.
Let me show you.
Because I just picture like all the bass fishing TV shows I've seen, it looks like professional soccer, but with like sponsors all around them, a big beer belly, and then, yeah.
You nailed it. I'm actually going to put, here we go. Here's a good.
And then holding a fish up right here and then, you know, right into the camera. Man, we really whacked this thing. It was right under that log. And, you know, I sent my jig right underneath it. And
oh, yeah, dude, you've done this, haven't you?
Yeah, so there it is. Oh, that's you.
Yep. And then just like I said, you know, like you were talking about holding up fish, like yep. This was us on the winning day. Yeah, man.
Let's see how unimpressive this fish is.
Dude, those are big. So, I mean, for everybody listening there, I mean, the full, your full torso, the size of this bat, these basses, that's crazy.
Those are biggins. Those are biggins
for sure. Not stuffed with rocks either, I'm sure.
Not stuffed with rocks. You get penalized for that nonsensical stuff. So yeah, anyway, it was all about bass fishing for a while. And then it turned into all about CrossFit. And then when I got married, my wife is in the military. So I needed to move with her wherever the military took her. And it took her from Maryland to Florida, from Florida to San Diego, from San Diego to Japan, and then Japan to Boulder, Colorado. And that's where I've gone. I've gone from Maryland to Florida to San Diego to Japan. And here I am in Colorado.
And not very easy to run a gym, I'm sure, moving all those places. Now,
nope.
I think it's a cool point to make that she's not just in the military, but she flies a helicopter, right?
Flew a
helicopter.
She was a helicopter pilot. So she was a search and rescue helicopter pilot for the Navy. Basically flew the Navy's version of a Black Hawk. So if you've seen Black Hawk Down, she flew that helicopter.
That was her.
That's just crazy. In the Navy version. Was not involved in any Black Hawk Down situations, but did do some really cool stuff. And now she is an instructor at University of Colorado at Boulder. So she's an instructor, not teaching people how to fly, actually. She's teaching people how to drive ships and become military officers. So she hasn't flown a helicopter in quite some time, but she does have, I think, well over 1,000 hours flying. So
that's pretty cool. I've been in a helicopter once and I almost threw up. So
she's pretty sketchy. It's pretty scary.
So you get married, you make Wad Prep, and what was the hole that you were trying to fill in the CrossFit community with Wad Prep? And if you, I don't think we've hit it yet. What is Wad Prep? What's your elevator pitch for them? Yeah.
So Wad Prep originally existed because I thought that there was a big gap in the industry when it comes to like learning how to do the CrossFit open workouts for normal human beings. Because I remember when I was, you know, really competitive back in 2012, 2013, 2014, I was obsessed with watching The Outlaw Way, Rudy's like super advanced breakdowns of how to do these workouts. I'd watch James Fitzgerald do like super high level breakdowns of how to, he's from, he's OPT now, OPEX, I believe is what they're called. And he would just do these super intense breakdowns of high level, what high level CrossFit competitors should do for the open. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. Except every single person in my gym should not watch these videos because this advice is horrible for them. Like, you should not do the first 30 toes to bar unbroken. That is not a thing that anyone should do that I know.
Not even slightly.
So what I decided to do was, I originally started WOD Prep and I was like, hey, I'm going to take all the really smart people that I know and host them on videos and have them give me advice that I can then relay to the people. Cause I didn't believe in myself as a coach. I was like, I'm going to get, like, I had a couple games athlete friends, had a couple famous people, famous CrossFitter friends. And I was like, I'm going to have them come on WOD Prep and I'll like use WOD Prep as a platform to share their coaching tips. Well, the first open workout that year, this was back in 2014, I believe, 14.1 comes, and the guy who was supposed to help me coach didn't show up to our call. So I decided to just make the video with my own pointers and my own tips and just kind of like just completely, you know, said, screw it, let's do it live. And that's what I did. I actually shot the entire video. And my camera at the time could only record 12 minutes at a time. So the video stopped and died. So I had to reshoot the entire thing again because I didn't know how to edit a video. And ultimately I released, like, if we could probably find it somewhere on the internet, like the world's worst video giving strategies for 14.1. And I thought it was going to be a disaster. I released it to the world, sent it to all my friends that own CrossFit gyms. And like the response was amazing. People were like, wow, can you do these for all the open workouts? Like, this was so helpful. This, I had no idea that this was a technique. I had no idea that this could help me. Wow, what you said about breathing really made sense. You know, like, and then it just, I just kind of kept it rolling. And then it turned into WOD Prep, which now the elevator pitch for WOD Prep is CrossFit is really scary, intimidating, confusing. There's a few barriers to entry. WOD Prep exists to help introduce people to fall in love with fitness, fall in love with functional fitness by making CrossFit much more accessible. And we do that through our free videos that we release on social media and also our coaching, which exists both in a membership group. We have online courses and we have high level one-on-one coaching. But ultimately our whole mission is to help people fall in love with CrossFit.
It's a weird gradient with CrossFit because you say it's scary and like intimidating, but it seems like that's not how it's depicted on the lower levels, because people are like, oh, you just, you know, you can do air squats and pushups and you can just, you know, really try and get your heart rate up and move through space repeatedly. But on the other end, CrossFit is this like gargantuan fitness thing where it's like any movement that can be measured, you need to be able to do, including the Olympic lifts and high level gymnastics. So it's this weird back and forth that it depends on who you ask about CrossFit and what they say.
Right. And the unfortunate thing is that a lot of people's exposure to CrossFit is like super gung ho, really, really fit people that take working out incredibly seriously. And a lot of times that's like their first introduction to it. And they're like, that's not for me. Like, I'm not that kind of person. What they don't realize is like that kind of person actually exists inside of them in some way, shape or form, maybe not super high level, but like there's an athlete in all of us. And when I see CrossFit presented in the right way, basically very accessible, kind of that's the first domino. And they try a workout and they're like, wow, that was really hard, a lot harder than I expected. And I had no idea I could get so tired in a 9-minute workout. And then they come back for more and they come back for more. And then all of a sudden the dominoes start falling. And then they do turn into that person where they're like, working out is my obsession. Like, I love this. This is my sport now. And I'm so fit and I'm having fun and I have friends and I care about what I eat and how much I sleep now. So like my goal for Wad Prep is to help people knock down like the first few dominoes, and then they can take it wherever they want. They can just like do fitness for fun, which is what I do anymore. Honestly, I do fitness so that I can go mountain biking and snowboard and eventually elk hunt. Right. But like I do fitness now for things outside of the gym, but for a lot of people, they might take it completely differently. And they're like, hey, actually, I really like this and I want to make this my sport. But for Wad Prep, we're not trying necessarily to like cater to the elite of the elite. We're just trying to help more people experience that Kool-Aid that CrossFit gets people to drink, so to speak.
It is definitely a Kool-Aid, that's for sure. I mean, when I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, which is not a big area on the Gulf Coast, there was like 8 or 9 big gyms in like a 30-minute drive from each other because it was just this giant thing. And it is fun. I mean, the novelty of the movements and the ability to go in very many directions with very many movements is fun. I mean, I'm working on my kipping knee raises right now, and I can't wait until I can touch my toes to the bar on a repeated occasion. And so it definitely is a lot of fun, but
they were looking good. My only suggestion was to narrow your hands in the video that I saw. Thought your grip was a little wide.
Did you send him a video? I sent you guys in the group chat.
It was in Wad Prep Masters. Oh,
okay. The live I did. I got you. Cause I did another one the other day, but here's the thing with my arms up, I'm like 10 feet tall.
Yeah. And your pull-up bar isn't high enough.
My pull-up bar. And if my shoulders come in, they kind of crunch a little bit. And so that was, but I'll try that out. I just got my first bottle of liquid chalk, so I'm ready to go.
Nice. Dude, big Nasics coming your way. Like it.
I love that word. So I wanted to go back to how you were able to know tips and cues for teaching these complex movements. Mm-hmm. What was your competitive career like that gave you that? Like
he wasn't very good.
Yes, you know, CJ tells me all the time, almost every day, that you're not a very good CrossFitter, and I'm curious as to if that's true or not.
Man, it's so interesting. Why would you guys be talking about me that often every day? Seems a bit excessive, but I respect his opinion.
You talk about me every day without question.
Huh?
You talk about
your hair is so nice.
Thank you.
So yeah, I don't have, and obviously anyone who follows Wad Prep and sees all the cues and stuff that we give, I don't have a high level gymnastics background, but I think that that's one of the reasons why Wad Prep coaching tends to be very accessible, because I explain things the way that I learned them. So I learned pretty much all of these movements from scratch in some way, shape or form. And I always like try to explain to my classes when I first started coaching, I would try to explain things using just the simplest phrases possible. Cause at the time when I was first coaching a little over 10 years ago, like 10 or 11 years ago, all the resources were like, they were really filled with what I call techno babble. They were just like a whole bunch of big words thrown together, and everyone just took them as like, okay, I just need to regurgitate all of these really big words that this influencer is telling me to do. And that's how you coach, is you tell people to coach by taking a lacrosse ball and jamming it into your super duper spinatus fasciitis. And you make sure that you're externally rotating with the dorsiflexion, but make sure you're not externally internally rotated at the hip. It's just like, dude, what are you talking about? You are not helping anyone that doesn't have like a physio background. So when I would coach, I was like, I would always try to be like the anti big word guy. Let's just call it that. Like I would coach really, really simply. I remember I had never done it before, never heard of it. Randomly, when I was teaching a class how to do double unders, I was like, how can I make this like the simplest thing possible? Right? Like it's just jumping and moving your hands. So let's just do that. Everybody put your ropes down. Let's jump and move our hands and let's clap the side of our hips. And I'll call it the penguin clap. I can't confirm or deny this, but I'm pretty sure I was the one that invented the penguin clap, or I was the one that called it the penguin clap.
You heard it
because that
first
class, like Christmas Abbott actually was there. She's like a, used to be a big, big coach. And now she's like a, you know, an actual celebrity or something. But she, it was there and she's like, wow, that's a great cue. Like I'm going to use that the next level one that I teach. Cause she was a, like a flow master teaching CrossFit level ones. And then and now it's taken off from there. But like the reason it works so well is because it's just a simple, silly, easy to remember thing that an actual human being that has a job outside of the gym that is coming in trying to make this workout the best hour of their day to have fun, get a sweat in, and then go actually live their life. They don't need to know about the dorsiflexion and the knee flexion and the, you know, where, what muscle group are we working? They just need to be told jump like a penguin, right? So I think that's kind of like where my obsession with just simplified coaching came from, was just actually teaching my classes and realizing that everyone responds better when you kind of dumb it down a little bit. And also it helps that I have a very simple brain. So I couldn't remember any of the big words. So I just explain things like I would explain to a five-year-old, because that's how I learn best. And sure enough, that's kind of like the niche that we sort of found ourselves in, is like just taking all this complicated stuff that everyone talks about and making it as simple as possible to understand. And yeah, there's some flaws to that. There's some nuances that I miss. I probably coach things the wrong way from time to time. But ultimately, good coaching, in my opinion, is shown by the results of the person who's being coached. So just because I give someone a cue or a tip that might not be the way that a high-level gymnastics person would teach it, if it helps the person achieve the desired benefit and there's no like risk of injury, like we're not putting them in a bad position, I'm just telling them something that makes it click for them, that to me is good coaching. And that's what we see for a lot of our athletes, and a lot of the cues and tips that we get for all these high level gymnastics skills is get the gymnastics speak out of there and replace it with really simple language and people respond well.
Yeah. I mean, we have those people in physical therapy as well, where they just, it's so selfish that they talk that way just to make themselves feel smart and to broadcast this. I'm smart. Everybody look at all the words that I can use. And so we definitely have that as well. And it doesn't serve anybody except for the person who's talking that way and the people who are looking up to that person. Like let's say you have a patient and you try to delve into all of the nuances of the human organism. It never, like, just in like 3 seconds, they're like, I can't wait for this guy to stop talking so that I can go home. So that's definitely rings true.
People love analogies. Yes. You know, like if you give someone a good analogy or a good visual cue, or again, like penguin clap, like I could literally probably just tell some random person on the street, hey, do a penguin clap, and not even show them what it looks like. And they could probably figure it out, right? Like, I just still remember when CJ was explaining pain to me for the first time. And how, yes, like, just because pain is really, really painful doesn't mean that your body is broken, right? And then I remember, I think he and I were talking, it's like, yeah, it's like when you step on a Lego, right? Like, and I've never forgotten that analogy for like, it's been probably 5-6 years now. Like, I have not forgotten that analogy. It's like, just because something hurts really bad in the moment does not mean that it's permanent damage to your body. And it's like, yeah, every time you step on a Lego or stub your toe, your body is saying, oh my God, we are broken. Everything, the world is crumbling. You're never going to be able to walk again. And then of course, 10 minutes later, because you know, it's just a stub toe, or because you know, it's just a Lego, you're fine. And so, yeah, ever since I heard that, all of my little tweaks and things that I used to be like, I'm doomed. Like my upper back is doomed for the rest of my life. As soon as I started to stop believing that, my injuries have gone way down. Cause I'm just like, oh no, I'll be fine. And then boom, now I'm fine.
I like to call them occupational hazards. It's just par for the course. It just kind of happens. You were saying earlier when you were beating CJ in the 4 rep front squat, that you had tweaked something underneath your scapula, and you're just like, that's one of those things that just happens, you know?
Yeah. And oh man, beating CJ was very easy to do on that front squat.
Totally unacceptable. Very unprofessional.
Are you guys, like, what's the plan for the rest of the workouts throughout the weekend?
I will beat Ben in the wall ball row workout, and Ben will beat me in the power snatch workout. I mean, that's just kind of
confirmed.
Yeah. There's no way, just because Ben power snatches substantially more than me. So, but I will probably win the overall.
All right. Oh yeah, especially with the test two. Yep. I specifically.
But I think. Oh, scores are in. Scores are in. By the way, test two was terrible.
It was terrible, and I'm literally just like, I could actually damage myself.
Yeah, for sure. There's so many people that
ADHD, so like, you can see me in the video. I mean, I'm like having fun with it. Like, yeah. I was like talking to the camera.
I was miserable.
I was like talking to the camera. I was like, every time I would like try to do two pulls in the on the rope climb, I'd look at the camera and be like, two pulls, it's happening. And you know, I did it a couple times, but yeah, I had fun with that one.
It was tough. I purposefully didn't try to do. I was like purposely to like four or five pulls up the rope and like purely trying to use as much arm as I could.
I guess that would have been smart to use less core. Yeah.
Like, well, like, cause it was just like, you know, you think you wait a little bit longer because you want to get up in two pulls to not fatigue your arms. Right. That's what a lot of people do. And I was like, well,
you don't need your arms in any way, shape or form in the workout.
In the whole workout. So, but yeah, I think I made two pulls like none. Maybe one rope climb and all the others were probably four or five. But you know, they were just cyclofast. But anyways, that was,
yeah.
But as you said, you know, damage yourself. This is like an interesting, it is, you know, a lot of people probably shouldn't have done.
This is a game. This is like a games level workout, right? This kind of volume on, thank God there was a time cap, but like that kind of volume, I looked at that. It's like, I haven't done a GHD sit up in probably over a year, like at least. Yep. I don't train them. I'm not going to the next round. Okay. Yeah. I could like try really, really hard and stress and like go full send. Literally the only reason would be to try to beat CJ or to try to like, you know, stay with him. And I'm just like, there is no reason to do that. Right. There is no reason to potentially like ruin my core. And I got a mountain biking trip I'm doing next week. So I gotta be prepared for mountain biking.
I remember the first time I attempted GHD sit-ups was a couple of years ago in Mississippi. I was at what's called the Dragon, which is the gym on base. And I was working out with a couple TAC P washouts, my good buddies down there. And I did like half GHD sit-ups, like 20 of them. And for like, not kidding, like 2 weeks, I had trouble standing up. Like I couldn't sneeze or cough. Going to the bathroom was a chore. It was horrible.
Laugh. Dude, and if you laugh, whew.
And I was like monitoring my urine. I was like, this is it. Like, this is my downhill slope into kidney failure. I wanted to.
Which, let me go get some water really quick.
Okay. Yeah. No problem. CJ, what are you? You got Chick-fil-A?
I did.
What did you get?
Chick-fil-A. I get a spicy sandwich, some tenders, and a large fry.
Did you get it delivered to the house?
Yeah, boy. Chick-fil-A delivers. I don't want to get up. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. That workout really was not my friend. Really harsh.
Ben, I don't think we actually heard about your competitive career. Like, what are there any accolades? Like, what's any accomplishments other than the national bass fishing, which is an amazing accomplishment, by the way, but in the CrossFit realm?
In the CrossFit realm, I made regionals 2 years as a team member for CrossFit Invoke. So, I mean, whoop-de-doo. We did almost make it to the games. Like, I think we were one place away from making it to the games in my second year of competition, or maybe two places away. So we were there. We were right there. And we literally had one person on our team that just kind of, like, blew up on one workout. She just blew up a little bit. And if she had performed like she had in practice, and this is not no fault of hers. It's just, like, this is what happens.
Sounds like it.
When you're in the heat of battle, like, you know, we would have made it to the games, and that would have been amazing. Because actually the team, I think two places ahead of us from that region ended up getting like second place that year at the games, 12 Labors CrossFit. So long story short, did the regionals thing. I won a bunch of local competitions. So that was, I mean, if there's any claim to fame for that, but there was a few pretty big level, high level competitions in, the Mid-Atlantic region that I did really well in. I actually beat Alex Smith in a competition. I don't think he was trying, but I'll take it. Or either that, or he hadn't done CrossFit yet. Like, it was that early in his like journey that I made it to the finals of this competition, where it was like everybody else was a games athlete. And I was like, hey, everybody, like, here I am. That was like when I was at my peak. And then, yeah. And then I had 1 year where I was doing really well and was on track to make regionals as an individual. I was training with Gary Helmick, who's a multi-time games athlete, beast of a human being. Oh my gosh. Great guy. So we were training together. He was pushing me. I was really making some serious gains. And I was crushing the open. I actually got, I think, fourth or fifth place in one of the workouts in the entire region, which kind of like blew my mind. So I was going into the fourth workout of the 2014. And I might have had my story wrong. I think Wild Prep started 2015 open. So 15.1. So in the 2014 open, I believe going into 14.4, they released the workout. It's totally in my wheelhouse. There's like ring muscle ups and power cleans and toes to bar. And it's like in my wheelhouse. That they announced it Thursday night. Friday morning, I can't walk because I had a staph infection flare up in my left leg. I had an ingrown hair from like doing cleans that like I might have picked at or something like that. And it turned into a full-blown like MRSA staph infection that essentially put me in bed for the next 4 days on antibiotics. And like I was able to come in and then like kind of half-heartedly get a score put in, but that basically crushed my hopes of making regionals that year. So that was really frustrating. And then like when that straw broke the camel's back, because I was like full send, I am a competitive CrossFitter. Like when that happened, I was just like, eh, I'm not about this life anymore. And then of course, luckily the next year they moved the regional line from top 48 to top 20. And I was just like, yeah, no, definitely not. I'm going to go fishing. And I was living in Florida. So I basically fished every day. It was great.
Do you see yourself doing any other fitness down the line, like in the next 30 years? Are you going to become like, is there going to be any shift that you can predict in the type of fun fitness that you do?
Maybe. Like I said, like I use CrossFit as a tool to prepare me for other things.
Right.
So backcountry snowboarding, that's a big one. And I can confidently say that I can last a lot longer than some people because of CrossFit. Elk hunting is another one. Elk hunting is something that is extremely strenuous. If you're bow hunting and actually like hiking and ruck, like it's not a guided hunt where you just sit there in a blind, you are actually like walking potentially 15, 30 miles over the course of your hunt with a 60-ish pound pack on your body, like hardcore stuff in the mountains, living there for a week. I'm going to have to train for that. And I'm going to use CrossFit and obviously lots of rucking to train for that. So I think really my fun training won't change very much. It's just not going to be for competitive reasons. It's going to be to prepare me for whatever fun hobby I'm trying to get really good at, whether it's snowboarding or mountain biking is another one, or elk hunting or whatever. And then I think at some point I probably will try to conquer my fear of like doing a triathlon. Just because I've never been an engine guy. I've never enjoyed running long distances. I hate rowing. I'm not very good at swimming. Like that's probably my biggest, most glaring weakness out of everything. So I like conquering things that I'm really weak at. So that might be something that I try to do at some point.
Have you been elk hunting before?
No, never been hunting before.
Really?
Yeah. So I am very much a beginner, like not even a white belt here. And I'm just trying to soak it in, but I've spent a lot of times outdoors just hunting fish more than I have hunting, you know, elk, but I'm just excited to like live off the land and like really truly test your body mentally and physically probably more than I've ever been tested.
Yeah. And I mean, we've asked guests in the past, like what's your plan for the end of the world? And I think that yours might be probably, your plan's probably better than a lot of other people, even CJ and myself, even though we have our Back to Basics book that I bought us to make sure that we know how to build a house out of logs and start fires and weave clothing. I think that, you know, once we get the Wad Prep compound together somewhere deep in Colorado, I think we might be set.
Yeah. Colorado might actually be too busy.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of people, but
you want to go to Kentucky or something?
Maybe Montana. Winters Montana. Are a little harsh, but Montana is probably the spot to go. Savannah lives up there.
That's right.
So we already have a Wad Prep compound, basically.
CJ, do you have, I know I've just been talking a lot here. Do you have any questions, topics you want to talk about?
Ben, some of the things that really interest me about Ben is just kind of like how he has developed himself as like a business owner and just like a business mindset, like within marketing, and kind of niched himself in, and one, very accepting of that, of like being not a CrossFitter when it comes to business, of like not being you know, jack of all trades, and like being very focused. And so how did you know that that was like the direction you saw that was most beneficial for WOD Prep, right? And not learning like more about CrossFit, right? And like more about coaching, you know, and not saying you haven't, but I know that, you know, like where your focus has been with mentors and books and readings and seminars and all that kind of stuff has been in, you know, marketing and web development and those kind of things. So how did you know that? Okay, so pretend like I didn't answer part of that question for you. What has it been? And then why did you choose that route?
So when I first started coaching, right, I was certainly developing myself as a coach when I was working at CrossFit Invoke in Raleigh while I was in college. I was going to seminars and soaking everything up. And then when I started Blue Crab CrossFit, I realized that that just being a really good coach does not create a business. So that's when, it doesn't. It's amazing. So that's when I started trying to figure out how the heck I can get people in the doors of my gym. And along that line of inquiry is when I found online marketing, right? That's when I started learning about like building an email list, how to actually sell to the email list, using content, using free valuable content as a way to get people to know, like, and trust you. And then you make them an offer and then they might even buy something from you. So that just started, like, I started just picking up book. I was like ravenous for podcasts and books and just any sort of training that I could get that would teach me about how to become a better business owner, not just a fitness person, but like an actual business owner. And I just specifically remember talking to one of my friends, Jeff Sherman, who was a huge mentor to me in the beginning. And I just remember asking him, I'm like, man, what's the biggest reason like you've been able to be so successful? And he owns a boot camp that did really well. And I think he ended up selling it. He owns a couple other like online fitness businesses. It's like, Jeff, what's the biggest thing that has led to your success? He's like, education. I'm like, education, really? Okay, yeah, I read a lot of books and podcasts. He's like, no, like education, like mastermind events. I'm like, oh, like how much are mastermind events? He's like, you know, I'm in a mastermind that's $25,000 a year. And, you know, I'm in this one that's $6,000. And I'm just like, what? Like that blew my mind that something could be that expensive. And something could be that beneficial. It's like, you spent $25,000 and like, how do you know it helped you? And basically, long story short, the more and more I educated myself on business and also mindset, there's like, kind of business goes hand in hand with mindset of like having an abundance mindset and realizing that like you have this blank canvas and you can build a business any way that you see fit. Picking up little golden nuggets from some of my top level mentors and then just using all that information to build the business that I was proud to be a part of. That's what did it for me. And then once I started getting into like learning about business, that's kind of where like the sport came back into play. It's like, all right, I'm no longer competitive in CrossFit, you know, so to speak, but I really enjoy growing a business because not only is it helping like my dreams come true, go from basically making nothing to actually being able to, you know, provide for our family. Not only was I able to do that, but I'm also able to help other people do that. Like WOD Prep is a place where like other people can live their dreams. Like it's not just like the Ben show, Ben doing his stuff. It's like, no, like there are people on WOD Prep that make more money than I do off of WOD Prep. And I'm totally, completely fine with that because we're all in this together. We're all taking this brand in the direction that's going to help more people and keep us fed and help people achieve their goals. So like, that's, I just really approach it from like this abundance mentality of like, I want WOD Prep to be the place where like the athletes' dreams come true, but also the coaches and the community, like the people who are actually on the business side, their dreams can come true too.
Yeah, it's the imposter syndrome and feeling like you need to know everything before moving forward with teaching other people stuff can be very difficult to overcome because you certainly don't need to know everything about a topic to teach people who don't know anything about that topic something. And so I think that's definitely something that has changed in my understanding of, you know, creating stuff for other people. It's definitely been a very helpful thing to overcome.
Yeah. I mean, there's a delicate balance of, you know, you don't want to be spewing garbage and you don't want to be spewing lies, but as long as you come at any sort of coaching environment from a place of honesty and like, I mean, some of my earlier videos, I'd just be like, hey, I know this probably isn't the best way to teach it if you're a gymnastics coach, but like, here's how I was able to learn this movement and here's what I do, you know? And like now those videos are super crazy popular on YouTube. And it's just because people appreciate me sharing what worked for me. It might not work for everyone else, but as long as you don't come at it like this is the right way to do it and you shove it down their throat, that's not my style of coaching. So I think especially to beat the imposter syndrome, you have to make sure that you have a delicate balance of like, this is what worked for me and this is what I know about this subject. But at the same time, I don't want to say this is the only way to do it. I just, this is my way. This is the way that I do it. And this is the way I'd love for you to try to do it. And if you want to come along with me and you know, I'll coach you through it, let's do it. And as long as you approach it like that, a lot of people will trust you as their guide.
Sure. Yeah, cool. We're coming up on, we actually have a Wad Prep social in 10 mm-hmm. minutes. I have a final question. CJ, do you have anything before I ask my question?
Will you ever admit that I'm fitter than you?
Whoa.
I'll do it right here on the podcast, CJ.
Let's do it.
CJ, Dr. CJ DePalma is more fit than I am.
Amazing.
At most things.
Wow. This is groundbreaking stuff. Hopefully the people of the Wad Prep Masters group don't listen to this because they might throw Ben out of the company and hopefully.
Oh, they should know. They should know. They should know. I have my niche. I have my things where it's like, oh yeah. Like the snatch burpee workout that I'm about to hit or like, you know, some of the workouts, I'm like, yep, that's, I'm going to hit a home run on that one.
I've been working on trying to get CJ to go up in weight to be a more competitive lifter. So I'm going to keep working on that. I think at least 195.
I would be so thick. I would be a bowling ball at 195.
No, you wouldn't.
Something's got to give, CJ. I can't just be out here outlifting you all the time.
I mean, you've been 52nd in Florida for how long? You know,
stop it. I'm over this.
All right. So it's not so much a final question, but more, I hope to get more information out of something that your wife had mentioned to me when we were on the phone at one point. I heard that there was a horse incident in Italy that I wanted to hear more about, that you were chased by some sort of wild horse.
Yeah. So for Shelby and I's honeymoon, we went to Italy for like 3 weeks and we did it on a shoestring budget. And now she runs a travel planning company, but at the time she wasn't, she was just really good and obsessive and OCD about organizing travel. So we had a 2 week or like 10 day equa trekking adventure across Sicily. So Sicily is the island south of mainland Italy, and Sicilians don't call themselves Italian. They're Sicilians. So we're doing this equa trekking adventure where basically every single day you hike, you know, or horseback ride, you hike with your horse, you horseback ride from hotel to hotel or agriturismo to agriturismo. So an agriturismo is like a small bed and breakfast that also feeds you. So imagine that in Italy, a small bed and breakfast to feed you. It's the greatest food on earth. So we were going from agriturismo to agriturismo. You have to like cross national parks. You're climbing mountains with the horse. You're doing everything. And this one time we're like crossing this field And I guess there was a, I don't think they were wild horses, but they certainly weren't very tame horses. We came up on I forget what a male horse is called, a mare. I don't freaking know. She's going to shake her head at me, but we came across this pack of horses and this one male horse was just like, nope. And just straight, like, was like doing the whole hoof thing where like a bull would do. And then we're just kind of going and I'm like, guys, what should I do? What should I do? And our guides were kind of ahead and a couple people had already passed. And they turn back and then this horse charges my horse and then my horse just kind of charges it and then just runs away. And all this whole time I'm on the back of the horse, just like, oh my God, what's happening? So I just grabbed and held on for dear life. And eventually we were able to get away from the mean horseman that was defending his kingdom.
Yeah. All right. That's as good as I had hoped it would be.
Yeah, and I'm still here to talk about it.
Yeah, still
horse
here.
It
would have been better if you had to run on your feet from the horse, and that would have been a great picture to have in my head.
Based on the memory that I have of it, I did not, like, I knew the safest place for me was probably on top of this horse and not off of it, because this horse, this thing was huge that was coming to get us.
Well, cool. Where can everybody find you on the interwebs? I'm sure it's a lot of places, so just rattle them off.
Yeah, so Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and website is all WODPREP. So WODPREP, and that's where to find all the goods.
All right. Well, Ben, again, thank you very much. We appreciate everything you've been doing for the health and fitness industry, and we hope to see more coming out of it.
I'm super stoked to keep it growing and thank both of you guys, the two hosts, for being a part of it, because life's better when you have friends to do cool things with business.
Very true.